Ice but a song so you can sing along with my special guest star
two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I am your host John, and with me today is, you know what, I'm going to give him a correspondent title right now. He is my live theater correspondent. It's Aaron Choi, everyone.
Hello.
Yeah, a lot of your choices have been like film stage productions, so you're my now live theater correspondent. Hopefully you could hold up to the title and everything.
I hope I can as well. I mean, let's be honest, all the like movie musicals I wanted to do also have been like done and then redone. And so I'm like, well,
well, we have to figure something else out. And we're here today, finally, because it's spooky season. We're here today to talk about The Toxic Avenger, the musical from 2018, which is funny because I was thinking about this. I was like, the last one you did was also from 2018 and was also a British production.
Yep. Was not planned.
I mean, Broadway HD does have a shit ton of British productions of things. So,
well, because they don't have to deal with equity stuff. That's why.
Oh, and they can film it easier over there. Got it.
Yep.
So The Toxic Avenger, the musical, the book is by Joe DiPietro, music by David Bryan, lyrics by Joe DiPietro and David Bryan. Welcome back, gentlemen, by the way. If those names sound familiar, go back to episode 150, Diana the Musical. That's why. And it was directed by Nick Morris and Benji Spurring. And according to IMDb, now, this is not the generic some PA had to write this. This is from at GambitX-00042. This is the only summary I found on there. I want to give it the credit where credit's due because it's fucking insane. A musical adaptation of the 1984 movie by the same name. Quote, a movie that most people only watched while stoned. End quote. A dystopian future of global warming and ecological disaster. While trying to get to the bottom of who's dumping the toxic waste in New Jersey, his discovery leads him to being dumped in the toxic waste to die only to come out as a super strong mutant. That's why I wanted to give credit, because sure.
Sure.
These events did happen.
Yes. So how familiar are you with The Toxic Avenger?
So I've actually seen this before, the musical one, and I believe I watched the movie. I don't know if I finished it because, okay, the movie, The Toxic Avenger from 1984, it's a trauma film. Trauma films are god-awful.
Yes.
There's bad, and then there's bad. And, like, they're hearkening, like, B-movies from the 50s, but, like, with even less of a budget and with more just like people they picked up on the side of the road to be like, you want to be in this movie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I have seen this, the musical, this version of the musical. And I think I've seen the movie. I'm remembering scenes, but I don't know if that's this movie or another one.
Got it. So I saw the off-Broadway production back in 2008.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Girl, I'm old.
Jealous. No, it's not that. I'm just jealous because I wanted to see it.
I saw the off-Broadway production in 2008. And then I Tried watching the movie, could not get through the movie,
It's
never watched the
bad.
movie. It's so bad. But the production in 2008, fun facts. So in 2008, David Bryan and Joe DiPietro had another musical on Broadway at the same time, which was Memphis. They had Memphis playing on Broadway, and they had the Toxic Avenger playing off
I
Broadway.
forgot they wrote
And it's
Memphis.
Wild that it was one of these things where there were articles about the fact that these two wrote two very different musicals, and one was on Broadway, one was off Broadway. The off-Broadway cast that I saw starred Diana DeGarmo as Sarah, of American Idol fame, and then Orfeu as the
Yes.
mayor slash
Mom.
Melvin's mom.
Yes.
Fantastic cast. I'm sure there are some other big names in there now. I didn't go back and look up that cast. I just went off what I remember. But I remember loving this musical, like absolutely loving this production. That well, absolutely loving the production, loving everything about it. And then there's this filmed version.
Oh, you don't like it?
I hated this
Oh, I like this one.
much. I hated this so much. I cannot, jumping all the way ahead, I flatted this entire production.
Why?
I think it's terrible. I think
How
it's
is
absolutely terrible. I don't think the, and he, I'm, this is a hot take, and I'm sorry because I have many friends that work in the West End, but this is a hot take. I've seen a lot of musical theater comedies in the UK, and specifically if they are very American specific comedies, they're not done great in the UK, and
what?
is mostly the comedic sensibility. I felt that the acting and the comedy, as crazy as the show is, I felt that this was so overblown that it took away from the show. Like, there are parts in this version that I'm like, I had to stop watching this four times because I was like, if I don't take a quick break from this, I'm just going to completely rip this apart.
Is it because of the choices
Because
that the clowns make? The
it's the
ensemble?
choices that everyone makes. I
Got
think
it.
I don't I well, here's the big thing. I think the direction is awful in this.
Interesting.
I think the direction is terrible. I think a lot of the blocking is awful.
Wow, you chose violence for this one.
I'm
Okay.
sorry. Anyone who loves this version of the show, this specific production of the show, you're wrong because it's terrible. So,
In my defense, can I defend it for myself at
yes,
least?
yes, yes, yes. You
This
yes.
is the only version I've seen live, like the live version of it. So I
Okay,
can't compare it to
I will
something
give you that.
else.
I will give you
I
that.
personally, so I like the I loved Natalie Hope, who played the governor and the mother. She is young for the role, I will say that, but like when she does bitch, slut, liar, whore, my God, it is so funny.
Here's the thing. The show itself,
It's hilarious, yeah.
love is hilarious. It's written very well. Joe DiPietro has a whole stack of shows that he has written. I Love You, You're Perfect Now. Change is one of them. Like, he's written so many shows, and he understands comedy. He understands like trauma films for this specific show. He understands how terrible they are. And like, it's in the writing. Like, the writing is very funny. Like, Tromaville is the name that they like, it's just
Yeah.
very funny. And so I it's tough because and here's the thing. I saw this in 2008. That was I wrote this down. I wrote this down. That
was
was
16 years ago. 16 years.
Yes, that was 16 years ago. 16 years ago. And I still remember that that was a better production. Just here's the thing. Also, Diana DeGarmo is a phenomenal singer and also performer in general. Like, phenomenal performer. And Orfe, you cannot beat.
No. I mean, maybe with the original person who is Nancy Opel.
Wait. Did I see Orfe or did I see Nancy Opel?
Either way, you saw a great person.
I saw somebody. I can't remember. It's been a long time. And maybe I'm just mixing the two of them up, too. That's
right.
A very good
Nancy is also on the cast album.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I saw Nancy. It was Nancy. It wasn't Orfe. Okay. I'm wrong. I mixed it up. I was also, when I was watching this, just like, I wrote that. And I was like, I'm just angry about this production. Here's the thing, and I'm going to be very honest. I'm much more a critic when it comes to comedy because I'm a comedic actor. And
what?
When I see, I'm the most serious actor.
Yeah, you are.
Ever. But when I see comedy, specifically comedic acting done badly, it really irks me.
Can you give an example in this?
In this?
Yeah.
Specifically, the entire hairdressing scene before Bitch, Slut, Liar, Whore. That's not in the script.
Okay. So
that entire thing, here's the thing. They added a bunch of weird ancillary like improv bits as well as like audience interaction stuff, which is not in the original show.
Yeah,
they added that
cause...
because of how of the space they were in.
Because I was watching this, there were some moments. I mean, I laughed hysterically during the chase when she improvs that whole like looking for her stick and everything. Like that I thought was hilarious that they incorporated, I'm assuming those are actually the stagehands or the dressers or something. I like when they incorporated this the stagehands slash dressers at the end, I was like, that's like throughout the ending, I was like, that's funny because they're breaking the fourth wall, doing a Brechtian thing, reminding you you're seeing a show, blah, blah, blah. But there are moments with I call them the clowns. I don't know what their exact title is.
The original script, I think, has changed now, but the original script, because again, remember, this is written in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
The original script referred to him as the white guy and the black guy.
Yes. So,
and I think it's now changed to just guy
clowns.
One, guy two, clowns. Yeah,
because I feel like you can have anybody play those roles. It'll still be, and it depends on the person. I get it that a lot of the humor derives from the clowns being men in dresses, and janky wigs. Like that is half the comedy that of. At least this production. I can't speak for other ones, but there were moments with the clowns that were like went on a little too long, and I was just and I was like, why? Like,
that's
what are we hiding? It feels like that, like there's some sort of costume change or a set change, but the set doesn't change.
But there's not. The thing is, when stuff like that happens, that tells me as not only an actor, but also someone who has a directing eye, because that's when I see shows. This is a weird thing with me and a weird just general thing with me. When I go see shows, I almost never look at it from an actor standpoint. I almost always look at it from a director standpoint where I'm like, oh, what is this picture? Why did they choose to do this? What was their thought process on like their like idea towards this, or what was their concept, or like that's what I think of first. And then when people ask me, oh, what character, it was like, Oh, well, I guess, yeah, this. But like that's why I prefer to sit further back in theaters.
Oh my God, I'm the same. I'm the same.
I prefer to
I
sit
love
further
sitting in the
back
mezzanine because you
so I
can
can
look
see
down and see
pictures, I
everything.
can see pictures, I can see what the thought process is. But for me, with this specific production, when they had all those extra things with the two clowns, they added so much overtly sexual jokes into this that did not need to be in
A
this.
lot of dick
And I'm,
jokes.
yeah, and the thing is, I'm a walking dick joke, but, and I'm not a prude in any sense, but when it comes to something like this, I'm like, when I see they add all this stuff and they prolong all these like weird improv stuff, that tells me that the director slash directors on this did not have confidence in this show being funny on its own. So they added a whole bunch of shit that they thought would make it funnier. And I mean, for me, it takes away from the show completely. It like that, I know that you really love that bit with her, like during the chase, that whole thing. It was the most painful thing for me to watch.
Well, because there was a moment where I was like, obviously you broke character. And I was just wondering, like, what is it like every other night that they did this?
And the tough thing is, I also don't know. It's tough because specifically with this production, they know that they're being filmed and they play into that because they look directly at the camera at some points.
Yes.
And I'm
Or
like,
and she mentions it in that moment as well.
or they were directed to do that, which again tells me, gives me the sign of a weak director because the director doesn't have the trust. Whenever something like that happens, the extended bits, the dick jokes, all the added ancillary stuff, that tells me that A, the director doesn't trust the show, B, the director doesn't trust his actors. So they just add a bunch of shit. They throw stuff at the wall to see what sticks. And that's what happens when you have a director who probably doesn't fully understand the scope of the show. Me personally, the best way that you would approach this show is to play these characters as earnestly as you possibly can. And that's what makes this show even funnier, is that if you fully commit to all these characters and who they are and just get into it, the situations are already stupid enough. You don't need to add so much else.
I feel like the women were doing that.
Yeah, the women definitely were. I think.
And Ben Irish, who played Melvin, the slash doctor. So basically, so
It's
are
the
you saying that
clowns.
there's like a
It's mostly
weird
the clowns.
dichotomy between like the principal cast, quote unquote, and the clowns, where the clowns were told to go like off the wall, or maybe
I
not?
think possibly, but at the same time, I don't know.
Or we're not reined in, maybe.
Oh, they weren't reined in at all. They weren't reined in at all. Because I think to a point, the director was like, oh, just do stuff. And then we'll see what we want to keep or cut. Which, as a comedic actor, that's very dangerous. Because comedic actors, we will throw any. If you give us that freedom, we will do fuck all.
It's like Robin
Like,
Williams, like when he was able to like go improv and things like that. He's like, "You got 2 hours? Because I'm gonna do a 2-hour set right
and
now."
that's the thing is, like, if we're given that and not reined in, it can fully fuck up the flow of a show. I think smarter comedic actors will push the boundaries, find what works within the scope of the show, and keep that. Comedic actors who don't have the experience or just, well, I frankly aren't that talented, will just keep doing and doing and doing and doing because they want the laughs and not necessarily think about how it works within the scope of the show. And if you have a director who doesn't know how to rein them in, it goes off the walls, which is what happens in this production. I don't know who the two performers are. I think a lot of this is a direction issue. to be honest, because there's also just some direction stuff in this that makes zero sense. Like,
you are coming strong for this
I'm coming
production,
strong
and you picked this
because
too.
I did, because I've not watched this one and I was very excited to watch this. I'd never seen this production of it, and I was very excited because the last production I saw
was in 2008.
Was in 2008. And I love that production because it was directed so well. It was very, like, even the two clowns were reined in very well. They were within the realm of the show. And here's the thing that I think is different with, you had mentioned some of the jokes are, oh, it's a man in a dress type thing. That was not the case when I saw it in 2008. They were playing characters, and it wasn't really the joke that they were a man in a dress. It just happened that they were men playing these characters.
Well, I mean, because a lot of the time with Oscar Conlan Mori, the one that played, I guess, the male hairdresser, if that's what he was.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Diane.
Yeah.
He was Diane as well. A lot of the time was just him being like, I found it funny, the visual of just him in the dress with the shitty ass wig and everything.
Yeah.
Because he's not playing it as a woman at all.
And I think that's the thing, is they also, because, and I think this is part of it, is that the UK has such a big history with pantos that I think that influenced that part of it. Whereas in the US, when I saw it in 2008, they were very much playing characters.
It was like the 39 steps in a way with those clowns.
They weren't playing up the fact that they were men playing women. They were just the characters.
Right. It was more like
they were just Diane and Shaniqua rather than men playing Diane and Shaniqua.
It was like the other one in this production, Shay Francis, who plays Shaniqua, mm-hmm. where at one point, I can't remember which one it was, I was like, you look great in heels.
Yeah.
Like that, I felt like that actor at least like wore heels before or practiced mm-hmm. in heels, because the other one, unless that was what they were directed to do, to
which
be
is
like
very possible, because
be very portly man in heels.
Yeah. Some other things. There are some weird blocking things in this that made no sense to me. Specifically, the biggest one that annoyed me the most was during Bitch, Slut, Liar, Whore.
Okay.
They had the mayor/mom who goes back and forth from being mom and mayor type thing, running back and forth behind this supply closet curtain. But for whatever reason, they had put a salon chair directly in front of it.
Okay,
and I'm
yeah,
like,
that I could understand being
this
like,
doesn't make sense. Why would you put this here? And it's not used at all in that scene. It's just there.
No, yeah, it's just that there's
to be there.
Because like the way that they use those pipes to open up, I was like, that's pretty cool.
And that was something that they did on Broadway as well, is they utilized the pipes to show location.
And I was very intrigued. I was trying to figure out how they changed Melvin into the Toxic Avenger, because it seemed pretty fast. And I was like, that's got to be under a minute. I think,
well,
at least in this, they could have edited it a little bit.
It's all underdressed. The only thing he puts on is the mask.
No, yeah. Well, at least the top is not underdressed.
Yeah, it is. If you go back and you watch it, when they throw him into the pipe, his jacket is fully zipped up, and you can see his shoulders are hulked up already. It's not easy to see.
Oh,
but it's
he has a fake hand. I see it now.
He's underdressed.
They gave him a bulky jacket, but also to like slap on makeup underneath that. takes
I
time.
mean, all he does is neck. If you
And
look at a little bit of eye, but I
eye and
think
jaw a little
I
bit,
don't,
because
you don't see that until later because he gets to go off stage during Kick Your
true.
Ass. During Kick Your Ass, all the lighting is very dark, it's all green too. So it will make him look green regardless.
Look at
So,
you
like,
pointing things out
theater
as
magic,
theater
breaking all the
magic.
theater magic.
So in the 2008 production, did they do the same thing that
Yes.
they do during Bitch Slut Liar Whore, where she's wearing half?
Yes, but they utilize it more. So they did a similar curtain type of thing, but instead of her like coming down stage because of, I can't remember the exact staging of it, but it was further upstage. But they had her, when she runs back, they had her change into that double-sided thing. And so she'd step through the curtain with one side and she'd be doing that. And then she'd get pulled back into the curtain and then turn
Oh.
around and do the
Oh,
other
that's
half.
smarter.
So it was a lot more. So you actually got to see her perform, whereas the majority of this was behind a curtain when she's changing back and forth in these costumes until she goes in that final one, which I'm like, this makes no sense. Like, I just want to see her most of this song.
I also wasn't sure if that dialogue was pre-recorded or not. I feel like it was. It had to
It
be,
is.
right?
It, yeah, it's pre-recorded.
Yeah, because if she needs to talk during her quick change, like sometimes you need to talk during a quick change, as you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah. So
I
that
still
was
love it,
one of
though.
the,
I
I'm
still
not going
love
to
it.
judge you that you love it. It's fine.
So, how did you feel, though, about this production playing more like poking fun at other musicals?
I hated it because I'm like, it just doesn't make sense with the show.
What, you
The
didn't like
show,
Hamilton's Cafe?
absolutely not. Hated that.
Oh,
There was another, what was it? There's a Little Shop reference in there too, where he like
yeah.
carries when he carries Sarah home, and there's a bunch of references, and I think it's also because these shows were open on the West End at the same time, so there's a lot of like West End show references, from what I understand, and I'm like, why are these in here? None of these make sense with the world of the show. I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate when shows add shit that they're doing it just for the fuck of it. I'm like, I hate it so much. I hate it.
Wow.
I'm not mincing words here when I say this is, I absolutely hated this.
Do you
Like,
think, though, you would have had a different thought if you saw it in person?
I would have left
Okay.
because, like, the amount of times that I had to physically pause this show and, like, go do something because I couldn't, I was like, this is, I can't. And I will say, and I feel bad saying this, but not bad, but bad a little bit. I've walked out of a number of shows, and I can tell you most of the shows I've walked out of have been shows I've seen in the West End.
Interesting. So you don't have
And
the British
most of them are, well,
theatrical
it's
experience
no,
mindset.
it is not the plays. The plays I fucking love. Like, the plays in the UK are usually much better than plays in the US.
Is it just the concepts?
It's the musicals. It's almost exclusively the musicals because I, don't come from a UK, but I don't think the UK can do musicals as well as the US.
I mean, it is a very American. It is American. Let's
It
be real here.
it's an American art form, and I think that there are definitely exceptions to everything, but for the most part, it's a double-edged sword because the UK, in the West End specifically, in the UK in general, the arts are government subsidized, so they can take more risks on shows. Whereas that's not the case in the US. The US is very much commercial-based theater. they have to make their best, the best product, because they want to sell tickets and make money.
Right.
And with that, I think part of it is my own Americanism, Americanized fault that I am expecting, but it shouldn't be. I should, if you're going to the theater paying money to see a show, it should be a good show, period. And I'm sorry that I expect a good show when I go see a show, but if the show is bad, I'm going to leave. Like, if I could be doing something else, or God forbid, take a nap instead, oh, then I'll leave. I'm going to have so, if you have any, I don't, do you have many UK listeners?
Yeah, I do.
UK, don't come for me. I'm so sorry. I love your country. I come there all the time. I see so much show. I see so much theater in the UK. I love you all.
However,
but some of your musicals are absolute garbage, and I'm sorry.
Wow. Wow. Sorry. I was not expecting this from this episode.
I'm sorry. The timeline of this is going to be weird, but we just finished recording Wind in the Willows, and I fucking loved that one. So I loved, absolutely loved that one. I have loved so many shows in the UK. I love, here's the thing, the UK does conceptual theater very, very well, except for when it doesn't. Because,
oh,
like, conceptual stuff, like the revival of Sunset Boulevard is by far one of the best things I've seen in my entire life. The new version of Sunset that is coming to Broadway, one of the best things I have ever seen my entire life. It's conceptual. It's fantastic. Absolutely love. But then I went to go see. So I went to, the last time I was in the UK was this last summer. No. Oh, it was my birthday. Sorry. It was my birthday. I went, saw a bunch of stuff around my birthday, which was in December. And the majority of stuff I loved. But the one show I was very looking forward to, which was a new adaptation of Roald Dahl's The Witches. That the music was written by Dave Malloy, and I love Dave Malloy's work. I left that show at intermission.
UK, I love your stuff, so don't come for me. Except there's one show I didn't like, and it's over here now, and I don't know why it's doing well over here or why it's still out. Back to the Future.
You know what's funny? I hated Back to the Future in the UK, and I loved it here in the US.
I didn't like it.
Maybe I'm a little biased because I also had friends in the show here in the US. I guess that's part of it too. But I just thought I also thought the energy was better when I saw it in the US.
No, I just didn't. I didn't like it in the UK, and I'm like,
yeah,
why is it here? But I don't know where to go from this. I mean,
I'm sorry. Like, I know. Sorry. I didn't mean to railroad you with, like, I hate it. Because here's the thing. I love the show, though. The show itself.
So then, what
I think
did
is
you,
hysterical.
What did you think of the main three actors then?
Main three actors? I loved Melvin. I think Melvin was very good when he turned into Toxie. I didn't quite love his nerdy Melvin because I feel like it went too far, like way too far nerd.
Right. I also like that he didn't affect his voice when he was Toxie versus Melvin.
Yeah. Yeah. He made it, he was still Melvin, but just Toxie.
Right.
Really, I did enjoy the mayor / mom. I think
she was fantastic.
I think she was a little young for the role, yes, to be honest.
Oh,
but
yeah. But like her,
yeah,
her skrelting and everything.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I had no issues with most of the performances, is what I need to say.
Got it.
I think the direction was my biggest issue with this show. And a lot of the ad-lib choices were my biggest issues with the show. I think that the director let the two actors who played the clowns just he let them free and did not rein them in. And I think they needed to be reined in a lot.
How did you feel though? So I noticed on the Wikipedia page as well as the cast album that Choose Me Oprah is supposed to happened before Hot Toxic Love in the original production, but in this one they have it after Bitch Slut Liar Whore.
It's weird because I think it should go back to where it was, because I feel like the trajectory of the show, Choose Me Oprah, putting it that late in the show makes, for me, doesn't make sense. It feels like it needs to be a little earlier in Act Two rather than later in Act Two.
But also, you just had Bitch Slut Liar Whore, which is up there as a song, and now you're doing Choose Me Oprah, which is another one that's really like, because I know I like towards the end I was like a little like, oh my god, there's I'm drained, because we had two like banger songs back to back, and now we're getting to the end and there's like a little more down, like slower, almost ballady songs. So I was like, just I don't know why they moved it.
I don't know either. I was just perusing my notes. So many notes. I also made a little illustration, Toxic Avenger. Boop boop boop. we talked about musical theater references. One of the references that I didn't love, well, I didn't love any of the references, but the one that just came off as like a weird, like, why did we add this? Was at the end of Kick Kick Your Ass, he sang the Wicked riff of Defying Gravity at the end of it.
Oh, I didn't clock that. I think I was,
it's,
there was moments of this that I was not paying attention to. And that's because I'm a millennial.
It was super weak. Like, unless you were really paying attention, it just was like, I know that's a Wicked reference because of the hands he used as well.
I'm like,
this doesn't make sense. Why?
Right, because in The Chase, there's a Grease reference followed by a Rocky Horror reference.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of references, and I'm like, this, yeah, man. The one thing that I referenced in here that I wrote here was, this is a lot of hand-holding comedy. It's very like, hey, we're going to take you here and this is funny. Hey, we're going to take you here and this is funny. Hey, we're going to take you here and this part.
Led by our two clowns, really. They're the ones that are holding your hands to be like, this is funny. We're being funny.
Yes. I think some of the blind jokes that were added to it, like the blind like gags, not in the script, but like there are gags that they did with her being blind that I'm like, these push on the edge of being slightly offensive.
Thank you. Okay, because I did write that down. I was like, are they straddling the line of offensive and humor? There was one moment, I can't remember which song it was, where she would drift off far stage left and far stage right and go out of the light and everything, that I was like, okay, that's funny. And then like there's a moment in what's the one that everyone sings to her? All Men Are Freaks.
Yeah.
Where they bring her to, like, how do you describe that? Like that part that's right in front of the audience.
I don't know. The I'm going to call it the loge.
The loge. That she, when she goes back up the stairs, she trips because she's supposed to be blind.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So as an actor, I just want to talk about the two characters, Sarah, and Toxie.
Yes.
Where Toxie has, you're basically wearing an eye patch with the mask because you can't see out of that one eye. As an actor, what do you think is more difficult to do? Play blind or wear an eye patch and have your depth?
Well,
perception?
Actually, you can actually, if you look closely, you can see out of that eye. Because the mask is cut where there's a slit, so he can see out of it.
Yeah, but like, You're it's
It's
still
still, it's still, it's still, yeah. I would rather play blind than I would play with. I also just hate having things on my face. Like, I hate,
like masks and stuff like that.
well, yes. Well, I hate having things that fully cover my face. So, like, big, like, rubber masks or like the mask that he would wear in the show, that kind of thing, absolutely hate. When it comes to like face masks for like COVID stuff, fine.
Right,
Eye
yes.
patch, fine. Like, little things, I'm fine with that.
Right, but you're not playing Dr. Dillamond anytime soon. In other
No,
words.
it would be, I'd have to be getting paid a lot to have prosthetics put on my face. Because I just don't love that feel. I don't love that feeling. Like, yeah, I just don't love that feeling.
I was just
So.
wondering from an actor's perspective, given that there's two characters where one has to wear a mask that covers one eye, whether or not, and like, yes, you can, he could see through it,
Well,
but like, it's not.
yeah.
It's still covering your perception, your depth perception
Yeah,
in a way.
yeah.
And then you have to play blind, where there are moments, at least in this, where I was like, she's trying really hard not to look at where she's supposed to be.
No, honestly, I'd rather play blind than have anything like covering my field of view. Like, I hate that. Like, I hate like being on stage enough, getting sweat in one of my eyes. And only being able to kind of see out of one eye, terrifying. Because I'm like, it screws with
Oh,
your depth
yeah.
perception. It screws with like,
Plus the pain.
because,
The
okay,
pain of getting
guess
sweat
so.
in your eye.
Yeah. And so it's, yeah, I would rather play blind than to have to deal with like partial like visibility for myself.
Well, Aaron, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
No, I think I have already ripped West End Theater a new
Exhausted.
one.
Don't
And I apo
apologize. It's your
my
opinion. It's your thought.
my my dear UK friends who may be listening, I apologize for having an opinion. No, I do
Wow.
apologize because I really did rip this production a lot. I'm very particular when it comes to comedy. And so
It should be known that when Aaron apologized for having an opinion, he did put on a MAGA hat. Anyway, continue.
how dare you? How dare you? I would never, would never. Do not put that out in the world because then it's going to come out. And how
I'm
dare,
kidding. I was kidding. Maybe
how
I'll.
dare you?
Or do you give me permission to put this on
Yeah, you can
TikTok?
use this clip. Yeah.
Great.
Use this clip as TikTok. People can see me and half awake, half. It's been a morning. We are
It's been a
recording this in a
morning.
morning. It's been a morning.
All right, let's get to Sharp and Flat,
Anyway,
though.
yeah.
Sharp, flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. Aaron's going to hate all of my sharps, I can tell you that.
Yes.
So do you want to start with flats? Because sounds
Yeah,
like that's all you
I can
have.
start. Yeah. Well, flat, the entire thing, the entire show,
Okay,
everything.
so I was a little more specific.
I mean, if you want specifics, it's the direction specifically, because there's a lot of weird pictures, weird decisions, having a chair in front of an entrance. For bitch slut liar whore, not reeling in the clowns that really needed to be reeled in. This show is not supposed to be 2 hours long.
Okay, I thought so. It was like an hour and a half, right? A cool
This show
90.
is supposed to be 90 minutes long. They added a full 30 minutes to this show.
My God, yeah, they did. I agree with you with the bits. That was a big flat for me. So because this is a film medium, I flatted the flashbacks in Thank God She's Blind, because I'm like, if you're giving me a film stage production, give me a film stage production. I don't want any of this dumb editing thing where you're like, hey, remember 10 minutes ago? Like,
yeah.
I want to be like the audience there, but the camera, you want me to focus on whatever you want me to focus on. Cause mm-hmm. I, like Aaron, am a bad audience member. I don't pay attention to what I'm supposed to be paying attention. I'm watching everybody else in the scene than the important part. So,
yep.
Yeah. And then, yep. I mean, this flat is just because I know it's part of the story and everything and it has to be done, but like, Melvin for lying to Sarah, like, I'm flatting him for that, because it's like, come on, guy, you've tried multiple times and just didn't say the words because for whatever reason. And that was it for my flats, really.
Yeah.
Sharps, do you have any sharps?
The show itself, I think the show itself is very funny. Is a very good show. I wish there were more regional productions of this show. I just don't think the movie is a big enough name that people will come see it, to be honest. It's a tough sell.
It's a cult thing, yeah.
Yeah. It's a very tough sell. But I think the show is very well written. I think it's very funny. I think in the right hands, it can be done very well.
Yeah.
I will say, one of my other sharps, just because I just love it. And it's also a song that I would add to my life playlist. Sorry, we're jumping ahead a little. My Big French Boyfriend is just, I love that song so much. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
So I sharped the clowns. I thought they were great, honestly.
Okay,
I mean,
zoom
in. I don't want to blame them, because I don't like to blame actors for things, because there's a whole slew of people that came up with this decision and it's not 100% their fault. So I thought they did a great job. I laughed along. Yes, the bits are too long. Yes, I don't understand why some things are happening when they are happening, but like, get Oscar in a dress, and I was laughing my ass off because he was like, I'm a dude in a dress. Ho, ho, ho. Like, I think he was playing the panto, and I liked that. I did sharp the cast as a whole as well, because like, vocally, they were fantastic, as in my opinion.
Yeah.
I did sharp bitch, slut, liar, whore, because it is so funny. Although, now that you pointed that out, that the chair is stupidly there and it's an obstacle, move it to the side if you wanted to. Or put it to the side closest to the pipes, really,
I mean,
if you wanted to, like, set it.
It doesn't need to be there.
Well, true, because
it's not used at all.
They had the thing with the pipe that opened up with, like, the nails, and they used
it
the
literally
open
could
close
be,
sign.
It should have been a rolling chair, because they used it at the beginning of the scene with Melvin's mom sitting in it. That's the only time they use it. The very beginning of the scene.
Yes, and they should have rolled it off.
It should have been a rolly chair with the rolly nail thing, and they should have just rolled it off.
Yes.
But no, it just sat there.
I did strip the musical theater references because I thought some of them were hilarious.
Okay.
I was laughing when they were doing the Brad and Janet from Rocky Horror for no reason. It's dumb. I loved it. I also sharped that moment in the improv moment in the chase, because, you know, there, I just wanted to know what else they did there. Unless the thing is, though, I don't know if maybe they were told to beef it up for the filming. Maybe a lot of these bits
is
and
possible.
Things.
It's
Yeah.
possible. I just hate. I hate when it's like, just film it the way that it
well,
is done.
In that improv, in that moment that Sarah has, like, she's staring on the ground, and I think the actor is coming through to be like, come to the West End, they said. Roll around on the floor a little bit, they said. Like, I think she was questioning her life at that moment. I'm not
Yeah, I
sure.
mean,
I don't know if that was like acting or if that
it's
was.
very meta. Like that bit in particular bothered me in the sense that they're breaking the fourth wall in a way, but then they keep up the illusion that she's blind
Right.
because she's not blind,
By any
but then
means.
they break the fourth wall and they break the illusion, but they keep the illusion. So that's the thing that bothers me about it, is that I'm like, if you're going to break the illusion and the or break that, then break it and just have her. It would have been funnier for her to, like, just near the end of it, just like stand up, walk over, pick it up, and then continue. Like, that's a funnier choice to
That
me.
yes.
But
I have two more sharps. One of them
cool.
being the band being on stage and incorporating them in the show. And then my last sharp is for at the end when they were asking the doctor how to save Toxie and the lights go out and everyone comes like that. I thought that was funny when everyone comes out as if to like strike everything and the lights come back on and they're like, oh shit, we're still doing the show. Like that was a, give me that one
I'll give you that one.
as a director. Like,
I'll give you that one. Oh, I do have one other sharp, and it's the weird Toxie baby puppet. I just think it's stupid and funny.
I do have another flat that I did think of, and that is Sarah's hair. It was all the bangs. Too
Yes.
much bang.
Something that I wanted just to point out in this show, they quote unquote updated it and had a lot of like modern references. I don't think it works with modern references. I think this needs to be set in either the 90s or the early
Right.
2000s because they have an entire song about Oprah, and Oprah is not
Okay, yes.
nearly as
That
big
was
as she
that.
was.
I did write that
Like
down. Like, is Oprah still important in the
in
book world?
2008, yeah, in 2008, she was still very big in 2008.
Yeah.
But even in 2016, 2017, 2018, when this was filmed, like, I'm like, Oprah's not really a big thing then, and definitely not now. This really needs to be like a period piece at this time because
Yeah.
it, yeah.
Oh, to say 2008 is a period piece. Oh.
I mean,
I know I've said it before too, but like,
is
oh, that's
almost 2 decades ago. So,
shut up, Aaron. You shut your whore mouth. Would you add any of the songs from this production to your life's playlist?
yes, My Big French Boyfriend, for sure. I think it's a great song.
I really wish there was a cast album of this cast, because
Okay.
vocally, I really do like what they're doing, because like the ones that I wrote were "Choose Me, Oprah," "Bitch, Slut, Liar, Whore," and "You Tore My Heart Out." Because I want to hear those. I like those people, so I wanted to hear them, you
Yeah.
know. But I don't
Yeah,
know.
yeah,
I don't think I can't find one. So, if anyone
yeah.
knows of one, I mean, we're getting to that point. So, on that note, Aaron, we're done with the episode. Hooray!
Hooray. Oh,
Hooray!
well, sorry. Can I just jump in? One last thing. I made a note. I made a note. There is a line in this show, and I think it was during an improv part. And I think it was from, if I remember correctly, I think it's the mayor talking to one of the clowns. And she says something about like overacting. And I was like, how meta for this show to comment on overacting. That's it. That's it. I saw that note.
Oh
So
my
yes,
God.
now we're done. Now we can
Now
close this chapter.
we are done with this episode. Aaron, what do you
Yes.
have to plug or promote?
I will still be in Young Frankenstein at Jiva Theater, that closes October 27th. So Yeah,
So you all can come see Aaron and judge him on his acting ability.
How dare you? But yes, feel free to.
Yes, the cast of The Toxic Avenger from the off the West UK. End production should come to Jiva, the Jiva Theater in Rochester, New York, to judge Aaron.
Listen, I was very harsh. I deserve all the harsh criticism as well. Trust me.
If you get an opportunity to direct this show, I would love to see it. To direct The Toxic Avenger, the musical.
Yeah.
I would
love to direct this show. I'd love to direct. There's a lot of shows I'd love to direct, but Toxic Avenger is up there because I would love to direct the show. I'd also love to do this show in the round. I think that would be wild and fun.
Ooh, yeah.
Super wild, super fun. Yeah. The show, and it's so cost effective. There's only
five people.
Five people in the entire show. It's great.
Yeah, because I feel like if you add more of an ensemble, it loses some of the humor of the fact that you have two clowns playing all the parts.
Mm-hmm.
All the ancillary parts. And if you actually know of a production that's happening soon, I'd love to see it. So let me know. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. Do you possibly know why in this production they switched Choose Me Oprah to being after Bitch, Slut, Liar, Whore? Somebody please tell me. I would love the knowledge.
And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we'll be doing something a little bit differently, and we'll be discussing I Kissed a Vampire.
But Aaron, thank you so much for coming back on.
Yes, and this, hopefully come back on. Hopefully you don't have a horde of angry people coming after you being like, how dare he?
Oh,
never have him on again.
Oh, that won't happen. There's nobody that responds with. Well, listeners, thank you for listening. And bye for now.
Thanks. Bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.